In a logo, the sun sets over low hills and the twinkling city lights below. Hollywood spotlights turn on throughout the city. As they crisscross their shining skyward beams, our view roves to a towering block of gold letters, Fox Searchlight Pictures. Now lush trees flank the door of a picturesque church. Fox Searchlight presents a 260-degree sneak preview production, a film by David E. Talbert.
Marriage has always been a big deal to my mother. She loves weddings, especially hers.
The doors open. Young newlyweds step out arm in arm.
And hers.
Years later, the bride walks out with a new husband and young girl at her side.
And hers.
The bride leaves the church again with another husband. The bespectacled teen forces a smile years later.
And, well, you get the picture.
At another wedding, the beautiful adult daughter smiles at her mother. The bridesmaids step away to catch the bouquet.
But as easy as it was for my mom to get married...
The daughter looks up with a smile as the bouquet soars overhead.
My relationships...
It lands in a tree branch.
...have never been cleared for takeoff.
The lovely brunette smiles and shrugs to her mother. A plane takes off from a runway. On an airport departure board, flaps turn rapidly. Two sections stop, revealing a title, Baggage Claim. Now our view soars over the Seattle skyline. More titles flip into place. Paula Patton, Derek Luke. A plane slowly moves away from a gate. In the airport, passengers stand in a maze-like security line. Tay Diggs, Jill Scott. Passengers wait at the oversized baggage claim. Our view soars past monuments in Washington, D.C. Boris Kodjo, Tremaine Neverson. The Washington Monument stands tall behind an airport runway. Adam Brody, Jennifer Lewis. A woman opens an overhead compartment. Ned Beatty and Jimon Hansu. Passengers walk through a busy airport terminal. Lauren London, Tia Mowry. A plane comes in for a landing at LAX. Lala Anthony, Christina Milian, Affion Crockett, Terrence J, Thomas Miles, Ricky Smiley. A TSA agent opens a piece of luggage. Casting by Kim Taylor Coleman, CSA. Costume designer Maya Lieberman. Music supervisor Julia Michaels. Music by Aaron Zygman.
I always wanted to be a flight attendant. It's a great job. You get to travel around the world, meet interesting people, and see exotic places. But that hasn't left a whole lot of time for love.
She walks through a terminal.
My mom says it's because I'm too picky. I don't think I'm picky. I just know what I don't want. I don't want a man with wandering eyes. The one that cares more about his work than me. I don't want a guy with too much attitude. Or too little ambition. But I also don't want to end up alone. Living in a house full of cats. Smelling like soup. And I don't want to spend my entire life listening to my mother tell me how she can find five husbands and I can't even find one.
She checks an empty mailbox.
But she won't be able to say that for long. A few months ago, I met this amazing guy on a flight to Miami. His name is Graham. And I think he's the one.
In a hallway, a man reads a note.
I've had a change of business plans. And it looks like I'll be spending Thanksgiving at home in Chicago.
I know it's a short notice, but...
Give me that. But if you can make it, I would love for you to join me for a weekend. You'll never forget. Love, Graham.
Graham is?
He hands her an accompanying rose.
This is what I've been dating for a few months.
Wow, a few months?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a record, Mo.
Ta-da! Montana!
Buongiorno!
Buongiorno, Taylor.
It's Zipolle. Italian donuts.
Thank you, but I'm watching my figure.
All right, well, if you change your mind, there's plenty.
Aw.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella.
All right, I'll get you some milk.
Okay, sounds great.
Oh, she's so sweet. So what's with the Italian?
She planned a trip to Rome to celebrate our one-year anniversary.
How do you turn your oven
off? Oh, okay, babe, I'll be right there. Just put in a new oven.
Of course you did. Yeah. Are you ever gonna finish that place?
William.
Hey.
Got it.
Oh, I'm coming.
Okay,
good. Okay. I gotta go.
Yes, you do. Uh-huh. Good luck in Rome. If it were me, you know, I would have chosen Paris.
Hmm.
Yes, so romantic.
Well, good luck in Chicago.
You think just because someone sends me a rose, I'm just gonna fly off to whatever town he's in?
In an airport.
Absolutely. According to my mother, you're not a lady unless you're married on or before your 30th birthday. And you're not a woman until you've had at least two kids. And if you're not a lady and you're not a woman, you're like my best friend Gail.
On a plane, a large-breasted flight attendant adjusts her cleavage as she approaches a passenger.
Warm nuts.
She spills the nuts in his lap.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Gail picks them up from between his legs.
I got your nuts all messy. Sorry about that.
The passenger looks down at his lap, then up at Gail. They share a smile.
That all better? Good.
As Gail steps away, the passenger sinks into his seat. Montana greets the boarding passengers.
Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome aboard.
I could have been late too, you know. You remember 9F, Boston to Cleveland? He called and invited me to his cabin in Vermont, but I couldn't go. Why? Because I had to be at work on time. Happy Thanksgiving. Why are you working this flight anyway? I thought you were off.
I was. And now I'm not.
Hello.
Sam. Oh.
Montana kisses his cheeks.
I misplaced my badge. Gail, could you check your cleavage for me, please? Trolling for men again, I see.
Sam eyes a handsome passenger.
Hi, welcome aboard.
The plane takes off.
Okay, so check this out. A friend of my cousin's bought a penthouse on the top of the water tower. He is having a party tonight. There's going to be lots of celebrities. Even Oprah is supposed to be there. So is Stedman. How often does that happen? I have an extra plus one. It has your name on it. Don't thank me. It's no problem.
Wow, Sam. That sounds amazing. I'd love to. But I can't.
They pass out drinks in first class.
A vodka soda?
A person would have to have one hell of a reason not to want to party with Oprah, like they are dying or giving birth or getting married, cranberry juice.
Montana smiles, turns away, and moves back to the galley. Sam's eyes widen. He follows her.
You're getting married?
Oh, Montana is not getting married. If she was being her best friend, I would know first.
I'm not getting married.
See?
Not yet.
See? Now, does Mr. Not Yet have a name?
Graham.
Graham.
Graham Jackson.
Yes.
5C Philadelphia to Chicago. Yes. Graham Jackson. Blue label on the rock, 7 figures a year. Graham Jackson. Yes. You guys, you could have invited me for any holiday. Christmas, New Year's Eve. But Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Thanksgiving feels like forever.
Yes, it does.
You think so?
I do.
It's gonna be more than turkey getting stuffed.
Ugh, such a hooker.
Shut up.
Does your mother know?
No, and she's not gonna know until I have a ring on this finger, which I think is gonna be this weekend. I just got a feeling, you guys. I'm sorry. I'll be right there with your vodka.
The plane touches down.
Montana, when my grandmother was very sick, she gave me this.
A bracelet.
And I couldn't really understand what she was saying. She was in and out of consciousness, but I want you to have it. I think it'll help you find true love.
Oh, thank you, Sam. That's so sweet of you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm about to go, but before I do, I want you to have these.
She holds condoms.
Cranberry flavored for the holidays.
Gail puts them in Montana's hand.
Go get them, girl. Thanks, Gail.
Now we drift towards Chicago's majestic skyline. Passing Willis Tower, we gain a view of Lake Michigan's clear blue waters at the edge of the city. On the lake's calm water, a yacht glides past a lighthouse. At dusk, Montana and a handsome man toast champagne at the stern. She wears his suit jacket over her cocktail dress.
Wow.
Graham, you have talked about this for so long.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I finally got to see it. It's absolutely beautiful.
You know, it's the first time we're together in the city where I actually live.
Huh? Montana beams as he holds her close.
I wanted this to be special.
It is.
I wanted you to see a part of me that most people don't.
Montana smiles at him tenderly, then gazes out, the wind playing at her long, straight hair.
Look at that water. It just seems like it could go on and on forever and ever.
That's what I felt the day you walked into my life. And I was hoping that we could go on and on and on and on forever.
Really?
Beaming ecstatically, she turns her face toward his and their lips meet in a kiss. Silhouetted against the sunset, they share a deep embrace. Later, in the yacht's cabin, Graham trails a rose petal down Montana's bare arm, then sweeps it down her décolletage. They share a series of passionate kisses. Later, their interlocked hands travel past two half-empty flutes of champagne. Graham unbuckles the belt on Montana's slinky cocktail dress. She leans her head back as he kisses her neck. Graham slips her dress off down to her waist, revealing her black bra. Montana kisses him ardently, then reclines on a bed in her underwear. Standing over her, Graham slowly unbuttons his shirt, then pulls it off, revealing an Adonis-like body. Montana rolls over onto her stomach and peers back at him over her shoulder. Our view sweeps up his toned, muscular torso. Graham joins Montana on the bed and gives her a sensual kiss. Their limbs intertwine as the yacht sails onward under a darkening sky. Now rows of lights illuminate a luxurious hotel's entrance. A shiny black car pulls up and stops with Graham at the wheel. Montana sleeps beside him.
Sweetie. Hey. We're here.
Waking, she takes in her surroundings.
I thought you said we were going to your house.
We were. But I got an emergency phone call. And I have to fly to New York in the morning. There's tons of paperwork I gotta look over. To prepare for my meeting. I'm sorry. I booked you in the best suite in town. I'll make it up to you when I come back. I promise.
A bellhop opens the car's trunk.
Well, I could help you. I could come with you.
That's sweet. Let me just take care of this business. I'll be back in a couple of days. And it's just gonna be me and you. All right?
Graham gets out of the car. Later, from the lobby, Montana gives a fond wave. Glass doors show Graham's car pulling away. Montana digs out her cell phone.
Yes, so are you guys doing it?
No, we're not doing it. If we were doing it, I would not be answering my phone.
I would. So how was it?
Montana notices the bellhop listening.
It's none of your business.
It was that bad, huh?
I didn't say it was bad.
Well, you didn't say it was good.
It was good. It was damn good.
Then why are you answering the phone?
On a treadmill, Gail notices a buff gym patron.
Graham had an emergency business call, and he had to fly out for an early meeting. And being the gentleman that he is, he
put me up at this amazing hotel in one of the best suites.
Girl,
Gail picks up her pace.
Montana, that man did not ask you to fly all the way to Chicago on Thanksgiving to insist that you stay in a hotel. I smell a rat.
Gail, I don't want to hear it.
Hear what? That he dropped you off so he can dip his turkey neck in another woman's gravy?
Graham is not seeing another woman, okay?
Prove it.
How?
By going to his house and seeing for yourself.
Gail, I am not going over to that man's house. Do you know how crazy that would make me look?
Later.
Gail, I'm here.
Where?
Graham's house.
Oh. He came back and picked you up.
Sort of.
Sitting up in bed, Gail clicks a remote.
You went to his house uninvited?
Gail, you told me to.
Yeah, but I didn't think you would do it.
Are you kidding me right now?
What are you doing now?
I'm going to his front door.
Mm-mm. Do not knock on that man's door.
You're going to look like a stalker.
Right now, you just look desperate.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Go around the back.
Dressed all in black, Montana hurries across Graham's front lawn, dropping a shoe. She scrambles back, retrieves it, and rushes onward to the side of the house. She leans back against the wall, her face glistening. Scurrying along a dark side path, she accidentally kicks a garbage bag stacked next to a row of bins.
What the hell was that?
Hello?
He's at the back door.
Somebody out there.
What am I supposed to do?
Do you see a trash can?
Yeah? Why?
Get in it.
Have you lost your mind? I am not getting in a trash can.
If I'm wrong about Graham,
and he catches
Hello?
You sneaking around his house, you can forget about a future together.
Get in the can.
Coming outside, Graham cranes his neck to inspect the trash bin area. As he passes through a gate, we find no sign of Montana among the bins and spilled cans.
What are you doing now?
I'm in the trash can.
Are you nuts?
You told me to.
Hello?
Montana!
Caleb.
Hugging his arms across his chest, Graham turns away and heads back inside. Nestled among the garbage, Montana tucks her phone away, then peeks out of the trash can. She watches Graham stride out of view. Glancing around, she bites her lip, then furtively climbs out of the bin. Plopping her rear end on a neighboring recycling bin, she slithers down to the pavement. Montana moves in a crouch as she creeps along, peering at Graham's expansive home. A window shows a stately study with a piano and a fireplace. Montana digs out her phone again, eyes the display, and answers the call.
Yes?
What are you doing now?
I'm looking through his window. Gail, it's beautiful.
Any panties on the floor?
Montana rises up a little, peering at the floor.
No.
Her face lights up as Graham enters the room.
He's preparing for his meeting just like he told me he was.
Gail was wrong. Graham was alone. And I was right where I wanted to be.
She daydreams.
Sipping from the same mug, resting on the same rug. Just the two of us. And the kids. And friends.
In the fantasy, Montana sits on his lap as mistletoe descends overhead. Noticing it, they kiss.
Toasting to our wonderful life.
They clink their champagne flutes.
What was that noise?
The sound of us toasting.
No, that is the sound of somebody coming in the house. Duck!
She drops out of view. In the study, Graham puts down a file and hurries through the doorway. He greets a lovely, well-dressed woman and kisses her. Montana stares with a furrowed brow as the lovely woman warms herself at the fireplace. Graham removes her fashionable coat, revealing her pregnant belly. Montana stares with a heartbroken pout as he hugs the woman from behind. Now she shuffles dejectedly through a deserted terminal at Chicago O'Hare International Airport, dragging her rolling suitcase behind her. The vast empty space dwarfs the solitary, lovelorn woman. Beneath a rosy sky at dawn, a passenger jet lifts off from a runway. Its landing gear tucks into the plane's underside as it climbs higher into the pale morning sky. Returning home, William stops in the hallway and slowly faces Montana's door. He steps over and leans his ear close.
Montana, you want to talk about it?
She peeks out.
Go away.
Hey. You've been playing the same song all day. Come on, let's get something to eat.
I don't want to get dressed.
Okay, fine. You don't have to get dressed. But you gotta get out of this apartment. Okay?
I don't have to get dressed.
In William's kitchen.
Cooking always cheers you up. Sit right here. A little wine. Mo, you love avocado.
William tosses a vegetable behind his back and into a pot. Smiling, Montana cowers as he dangles a boiled lobster over her.
Look at that.
He places a handful of leafy greens on her head and she tosses them back. Later, Montana eats ice cream as her mom enters her apartment with a young, beautiful woman.
We are so excited. We wanted you to be the first to know.
I wanted you to be the first to know.
After me, of course.
I'm engaged. Derek proposed with a 2-carat diamond ring.
I didn't get my first carat to my third marriage. Montana, does this single rose mean you're not single anymore?
Montana snatches Graham's note away.
Listen, Cherie's fiancé's taking us all out to dinner tonight. I'm borrowing those earrings I bought you for Christmas. Oh, yes, honey. I should have bought them for myself.
He's on track to break the college record for most receptions in a season, maybe even win a Heisman.
You know I'm happy for you, Rachel.
Yes.
But you're just a sophomore in college. You barely know what you want to major in, much less who you want to spend the rest of your life with. Why now?
Why not now? He's a great guy. And I'm not trying to wait until I'm all old, like...
Montana nods.
Like me.
Montana, I didn't mean it like
girls, that. Girls, what do you think? Yes, fabulous. I hate him.
Mom's even letting me wear her wedding dress.
You can pick whichever one you want.
There's only one thing that would make this the best wedding ever.
At a bar, Montana sits with Gail and Sam.
A bridesmaid. Again?
I just can't go to my little sister's wedding single. I'll be the laughingstock of my entire family.
Well, if what you need is a man, honey, I can get you one of those.
Gail waves at a bartender.
Don't embarrass me. It's not a man I need. It's a husband, or at least a potential husband in a month.
Why don't you marry Gail? If she goes a week without waxing her mustache, they'll think it's Steve Harvey.
Guys, I'm serious. Why is it so hard to find the right guy?
Tell me about it.
Tell me about it.
Now, that seems like a girl could have everything, right? An MBA, a J-O-B, but no M-A-N.
That's because men are intimidated by strong women. I never tell guys that I have a degree.
That's because you don't have a degree.
You know what? Sam, you keep missing the damn point.
I should just give this back to you.
What?
It's hopeless with me.
She returns Sam's bracelet. He eyes it, then purses his lips.
Montana, you're not showing up single. Let me see your phone.
Hey, wait.
Let me just hang on. Now, look, it's not like she's got enough time to meet somebody new, so why not revisit somebody old?
I don't even know if any...
Picky is single. Now, if we're lucky, one of these guys might have blossomed into Mr. Right.
Let me see.
She hasn't talked to any of these guys in years.
If she coincidentally bumped into one of them on a plane, she might.
Yeah, but how would I even know if any of them were traveling?
It's the holiday season. Everyone's traveling. And when someone's about to fly, what's the first thing they do? They book a flight. And there's Tanya in ticketing.
Hi, I'm Tanya. Welcome to TransAlliance. May I please have your ID?
And it's Frankie in the frequent flyer program.
Thank you for choosing TransAlliance. How can I help you?
I turned them on in my hookup at the Louis Vuitton store, so they both owe me biggies. There's Calvin at curbside check-in.
Hi, I'm Calvin from curbside. Welcome to TransAlliance, a flight you can afford, where your soul and your bag can be on one accord.
And there is Cedric in security.
First name Cedric, last name take everything out your pockets. I need your pockets out your pockets.
For the next few weeks, any ex of yours that flies anywhere at any time will know. And all we have to do is arrange your schedule so you're on the same flight.
She raises her brow.
First of all, this is the stupidest idea ever. Secondly, of all...
There's the degree.
Assuming that you could find out when these guys are flying, which I doubt because it's your dumbass idea.
Hell.
These are all men that you've dated before, and it didn't work out. So what is going to make this any different?
Because this time she'll be different. Same action, same outcome. New actions, new outcome.
Clearly, we have all had too much to drink because this is illegal. We can all get fired and we can go to jail.
Or we could come to the aid of the sweetest and most romantically deserving human being alive, and we can help her find the truest and the fastest love of her life.
Montana smiles.
We got 30 days, and we got 30,000 miles.
To be brought up on federal charges.
To find me a husband.
Smiling, Sam and Montana toast Gail's glass. Later in a hotel room, Gail sits with Montana.
I just don't understand why you guys think that this is a good idea. It's the 21st century. You don't need a man to define you.
Montana shifts her eyes to the floor. Gail cocks her head.
Gail, everyone I know is getting married and having kids.
So what?
So? I want someone to love me too. Someone who thinks I'm the best. That only sees me in the room. I know it might sound corny or unrealistic, but I know he's out there. And I don't want to wait any longer.
Gail lightly shakes her head.
And you think you're going to find him in 30 days?
Of course not. Maybe.
At home, Montana sets down a basket of laundry and grabs her phone.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, it worked. It actually worked.
What worked?
Our plan. He is on a flight from Los Angeles to New York with a connection in Houston.
Who?
One of your exes, Damon Diesel. Just a second.
You gotta be kidding me. Damon Diesel could barely take care of himself, much less a family.
Try Googling him. He has produced 3 number one singles in the last year, okay? Not to mention, he's Essence's Bachelor of the Month. Now, I'm telling you, he is looking for Mrs. Diesel.
Hey,
I'm on the toilet.
Sam, I love you, but I'm not getting on that flight, okay?
Montana!
Oh, my God, my mom has come over uninvited again.
I'm gonna jack you up. I'm gonna jack you up hard.
I gotta go.
A cat scampers by as her mom enters.
Montana. Oh,
Oh, honey, Mama's having a rough day.
Yeah?
All this planning for your sister's wedding, it's just making me feel like such a failure.
Mom, 5 marriages doesn't make you a failure.
I wasn't talking about me.
Oh.
I started thinking, my youngest daughter is marrying a wonderful, handsome, athletic young man.
Yes, she is.
And I might not even be alive to see my oldest do the same. Anyway, we have got to discuss your sister's rehearsal dinner, seeing you are a maid of honor again.
Gosh, I would love to talk about this, but I have a flight to catch.
Why didn't you tell me you had a flight to catch?
Well, if you would have called, I would have told you.
Listen, you make sure you call me when you land.
I will call you whenever I get to wherever I'm going. I love you. Bye.
Scooting back to the table, Montana checks the clock and grabs her cell phone.
Sam, what's the flight number?
Words appear. 30 days. Clothes lie strewn over Montana's bed as she slides a pair of heavily elasticized slimming tights over her lingerie. Digging through the pile, she retrieves an extremely tight black skirt and stumbles forward, zipping it on. The frantic beauty tries several red tops while eyeing her rear end. Now wearing a black jacket over her skin-tight dress, Montana rushes onto the sidewalk with a rolling suitcase. William idles by.
William!
She tosses her suitcase into his vintage pickup truck. A logo on its side reads, Wright Contractors.
Somebody's looking good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I almost didn't recognize you.
Well, some of us like to update our image every decade or so.
Hey, this was the truck that my father bought before he started his business. This is vintage.
I wasn't talking about the truck.
William eyes his wool-lined jacket.
You want to get to the airport? what's the occasion?
Oh, I'm meeting a friend in Houston, and then we're flying to New York.
Why would you be flying all the way to Houston to meet a friend? And New York is just an hour away.
Well, he doesn't exactly know I'm meeting him. It's a surprise.
This wouldn't have anything to do with Cherie's wedding, would it?
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Montana flips hair off her face.
Okay, maybe it does. A little.
You know, my parents were together almost 40 years before my dad passed away. He kept the same job, drove the same truck, and stayed in love with the same woman. Every night at 6 o'clock, there was an oven-cooked meal sitting at the table waiting for him.
Same one? Poor woman.
You know, Mo, the magic isn't in getting married. It's in staying married.
They arrive at the airport.
William, I can't thank you enough.
She gives him a hug.
All right, wish me luck, okay?
Okay.
I got my bag.
Montana hops out, retrieves her bag, then starts away. William holds up her phone. Rolling her eyes, she hurries back.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay. Bye. Hey.
He holds up something else. Montana shuffles back again.
Your earpiece.
I'm so sorry. You know me. All right, bye. See you later.
Hey, Mo! Your lipstick! She's always forgetting something.
He puts the lipstick in the glove box with other random toiletries and makeup. At security.
Cedric!
Whoa! Cedric. Nobody move! Back up! Nobody move!
Sorry, excuse me. It's an emergency.
Montana dodges Cedric's baton as he waves her through.
I have no life, which gives me all day to ruin yours.
Welcome aboard Transalliance Flight 143, nonstop from Baltimore to Houston.
The plane takes off.
Welcome to Houston Hobby Airport. Y'all have a nice day.
Rushing past other disembarking passengers, Montana waves her Transalliance badge at the ticket checker and boards the flight to New York.
Yes, Sam, I'm on the plane in a dress I can barely breathe in, but he's not here.
Who?
Damon Diesel. He's not on the flight.
A male pilot checks out Sam.
No, he's not. Sam, this is ridiculous. I don't know how you convinced me to do this, but I'm leaving.
A man checks out her rear.
Blood will be the stitches in that skirt. Montana Moore.
Damon Diesel.
What's that?
Wow, not much. You look
great.
Damon shrugs with a cocky grin.
So you're in first class?
That's the only way to ride.
He looks her over.
Well.
Montana smiles.
Well, okay, I'll be sitting down.
At night, we soar over the Brooklyn Bridge. A lit Christmas tree stands on one of the towers. Triangular lights shine on the Chrysler Building's crown. As Montana's plane touches down, words flip into view. New York.
So how long are you in town?
Two or three days. Have some meetings and family to see.
Okay.
How long are you in town?
Long enough.
Long enough for what?
Long enough for us to spend some quality time. If I'm allowed.
You're allowed.
Great. Let's go. Come on.
He holds the elevator.
Okay, let's go.
After you.
I can't believe we ran into each other. It's crazy.
Holding her hand, Damon leads Montana through a nightclub. He answers a call.
I'm busy.
Damon Diesel.
What's up?
Can I get you something to drink?
The usual.
Bottle of Chateau Margaux 66. Coming right up.
At a table.
Well, listen, you should think way larger than that. London, Dubai.
Your check?
Well, thank you.
See you next time.
He flashes a credit card.
You know, Damon, I should probably get back to my hotel. I've got an early morning, and girl does need her beauty rest, so.
No. Real talk, you can stay awake the rest of your life, and you still be beautiful to me.
Thank you, Damon.
Nah, like, being with you tonight, got a brother on some, like, till death do we part shit. No, really, don't laugh. Why are you laughing?
Hey, Damon, I've been trying to reach you.
Janine, Montana, Janine.
Hi.
Janine and her husband work with me at the label.
Damon, look, could you call me when you get a moment? I want to wrap up a few things with you, okay?
Damon nods and smiles at Janine.
All right, have a good evening.
Well, it was really nice to meet you, Janine.
You too.
Where were we?
Damon lifts his wine glass.
To us.
Damon keeps his eyes on hers as he sips. Later, he leads her into an opulent loft.
So this is it. Work hard, play hard, baby.
Clearly.
I want to show you something, too.
Okay.
Check this out.
Damon leads her to an open second floor.
A little different than the last time you saw me.
Yeah, you think?
Hope you like it. Come on.
Okay. Come here.
He gestures to a sleek modern hot tub.
Sexy, right?
Yeah. Wow. Hey, man, you're doing big things. I'm impressed. I'm not getting in the hot tub.
Later, Damon sits in the bubble-filled hot tub as Montana stands across the room.
You know you want to.
Maybe, but I'm still not getting in.
Okay.
Janine unlocks the front door, but its chain lock keeps her out.
You stop acting silly.
Her eyes widen.
Is that meant to be inviting?
Damon?
Montana's smile fades.
Damon, I know you hear me.
Who is that?
Look.
I thought you said you weren't seeing anybody.
That's Janine.
The lady from the restaurant?
Damon, you better...
She kicks the door.
This is your house. Tell her you've got company.
I can't.
Why not?
This ain't my house. It's hers. I can't afford this shit, man.
Damon, stop this damn door!
You can afford a Range Rover and you have that titanium American Express card.
That shit hers, too.
You said she was married.
She is. Like, sometimes she not.
I know you ain't got that hoe from the restaurant in there.
Who's she calling a hoe?
You
I'm not shushing nothing.
You better shoot. She's crazy.
I'm gonna shoot you and that bitch, because you know I'm crazy.
I told you she's crazy. Crazy, she crazy.
What are you doing to me? Open.
When she come through the door, when she break the door down, you don't want to be here.
Yeah, where should I be?
She follows Damon's gaze.
I am not getting on that fire escape.
Now Montana hides on the fire escape.
Sam's dumbass idea working.
Did he pop the question?
I'm on a fire escape.
I'm gonna assume that's a no.
Anyway, bachelor number two is on the flight in the morning from Atlanta to D.C.
To meet him, you need to be at JFK in an hour to catch the last commuter flight out tonight, so.
You can make his connecting flight in the morning.
You've now got...
Gail eyes her muscular masseur.
69. I mean 59. Gail? 59 Gail. Minutes, honey. You got Gail. 59
Gail?
Minutes.
Gail?
I'm looking for the bitch, too.
Bitch, where are you?
Could this get any worse?
Rain pours down. Covering her head with her purse, she crawls beneath the window.
Hey, Montana, it's your mother.
Her mom ices cookies.
Marie decided to have a bridesmaid slumber party at the last minute, so we're all over here in our pajamas, and we want you to come over. All right, sweetie, I love you.
She whacks a chubby girl's hand away.
Now, you know damn well you don't need that cookie. Now, don't sit down.
At night, a Trans-Alliance plane takes off, then lands in Atlanta. Straightening her flight attendant uniform, Montana approaches a bald, handsome man seated in first class.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. Your flight time today to Reagan International Airport is 1 hour and 40 minutes. Sit back and enjoy the short flight.
Sir, may I offer you a blanket?
No, thank you. Montana.
Langston.
Another man looks up.
Montana.
Curtis. Hi. Would you like a blanket?
I'm okay.
Both men tilt their heads to the right to watch her walk away. Gail answers a video chat from Montana.
Hey, two of my exes are on the plane. Okay, I knew about Langston, but who's this other guy?
Curtis, he and Langston are both on the flight.
Hold on, let me get Sam.
Sam joins the call.
Sam!
Curtis is here too.
I thought you said he got married.
I thought he did, but I don't think he is anymore. He's not wearing a wedding ring.
None of the married guys I date wear wedding rings. I mean, it's just tacky.
Go with Langston. He's running for Congress, which means soon he'll be looking for a running mate.
Montana looks back at her exes.
Curtis.
Oh, hey, man.
Langston.
You know Montana?
Yeah, we're old friends.
Flight attendants, please prepare the cabin for takeoff.
Later, Montana and Langston walk together as they leave the plane.
You know, I'm running for Congress now.
Really?
Yes, yes, and I'm having dinner tonight with some potentially major campaign contributors. I was wondering, would you happen to know a young lady, gorgeous, intelligent, that would be so gracious as to join you?
If asked, I might.
All right, well, consider yourself asked.
Consider yourself answered.
After you.
Now Montana follows Langston into an elegantly furnished sitting room.
Right over here, this is me.
Wow. Langston, you've done really well for yourself.
Well, thank you. This actually is probably my favorite room in the house.
I can see why.
Oh!
Look, you have a dog!
He lifts the Yorkshire Terrier.
Montana, this is Juicy. Juicy, this is Montana.
She's so cute. Can I pet her?
Juicy, stop that. Shame on you. I'm sorry. She's jealous. She likes to mark her territory.
I understand.
You know, if you were around more often, Juicy wouldn't have these problems.
So, my being around more often would just be for Juicy?
Oh, yes, strictly for Juicy.
He sets Juicy on a red velvet chair.
Listen, I hope it's okay. I had my assistant pick you out something to wear. I'm assuming your sizes are the same as I remember.
Yeah, I hope so.
You find it hanging in the bathroom. It's two doors down to the left.
Great.
All right.
Okay. Bye, Juicy. We're gonna be friends. I can feel it.
I certainly hope so.
Okay.
Montana wheels her suitcase out of the room.
See you shortly.
Juicy P.
Hopping off the chair, Juicy scampers into the hallway. Langston smiles after her. Now portraits of past presidents hang on the walls of an upscale restaurant. Wearing a conservative burgundy skirt suit, Montana approaches a distinguished couple with her arm hooked to Langston's.
All right, Montana, please allow me to introduce you to Howard Donaldson and his beautiful wife, Estelle. Mr. Donaldson is the owner and founder of Donaldson Steel, which is the largest contractor in the Washington metropolitan area.
And who might the stunning young lady be? I mean, she is too pretty to be your date.
You got that right. This is Montana Moore, my very significant other. She was gracious enough to actually get on a plane, fly here to join us for dinner tonight.
Well, young lady, I hope you're prepared to withstand the heat which this coming election will surely bring.
Well, Montana comes from a long line of flame-retardant women, so she's gonna be just fine.
All right. I got a great table. Come on, let's go.
Get it.
Flame retardant. Mm-hmm. Good surprise.
Later, a waiter approaches their table.
May I take your drink order?
Yeah, I'll have a scotch single malt, on the rocks and a Shirley Temple with extra cherries for my wife.
That sounds good. I'll have exactly what the gentleman is having. And the lady will also have a Shirley Temple extra cherries.
Oh, no. Actually, no, sir. I'd like...
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I got it. A Shirley Temple, please.
Thank you.
The waiter looks from Montana to Langston.
Huh.
Estelle levels her gaze on Montana.
Actually, would you please excuse us? I'm dying to show Montana a breathtaking view of the atrium.
Excuse us.
They step away from the table. Estelle smiles.
Sweetheart, listen, Grant. These are the kinds of contributors. They want to know that the candidate that they're investing in is a leader. You know what I mean? Like a take charge type of man. Now, if I sit there and let you order your own drink, then and that would be like you're leading, and I can't. I know, look. But please, just bear with me. I promise you, when this whole thing is over, I'll take you wherever you want to go, and you can order for the entire restaurant. Right, but can you do me the solid? For me.
He kisses her hands.
Sure, of course. I'll do it for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You look great, Dad. Okay. You look great.
He abruptly leaves her. Back at the table, Estelle stares at Montana as she eats her cherries.
Langston, your record in the city council is impeccable.
Well, thank you.
If you're not elected to Congress, it won't be because of insufficient financial support.
He tears a check out of a book. Langston grins.
I like that sound. Oh, Mr. Donaldson.
He shows it to Montana.
I can't tell you how much this means to me. Us.
I'm telling you, there is no reason that you can't do something for your people. You could do something really great. Historic, maybe. I mean, we're talking about the Obamas, the Williams sisters, like Tiger Woods.
Well, if if you're referring to the American people, then yes, I have every intention of making the American people very proud.
Well, you know, I was thinking specifically of your people, the black people.
Their waiter eyes Langston.
Well, I live in Georgetown, so I guess these would be my people. And Tiger Woods lives in Florida, so those would be his people.
Are you saying that where Tiger Woods lives makes him irrelevant to people of the same skin color?
You'd first have to determine Tiger Woods' skin color.
Montana lowers her uncomfortable gaze.
He's black.
Well, I think what would make Tiger Woods black would be his passion for things that are related to the African-American race as a whole, which he has not yet proven to have.
Donaldson stares at Langston with a stunned sneer. He faces his wife, who gulps timidly.
What I think would make Tiger Woods black is the fact that he drives an Escalade and his daddy's name is Earl.
Langston lowers his drink. Estelle and Donaldson stare. Montana grins persistently. Langston puts on a smile. The presidential portraits look on. Now back at Langston's.
Escalade? Why would you... And daddy named Earl?
It was a joke. Things were getting heavy, and I was trying to lighten them up.
Josie, no. Yes, this is Langston. Good evening, sir. Yeah, she is quite the funny lady. I'm sorry? Of course. Well, I accept. Yes, thank you again, sir. Good night. Well, it's Mr. Donaldson. Just doubled his contribution. Apparently, your little Tiger Woods joke was the highlight of his evening. Josie, go pee.
With a bemused frown, Montana watches the little dog run out of the room.
Oh, well, then the dinner was a success. Langston, we should celebrate.
Look. Okay.
Leaving an armchair, Langston joins Montana on a plush sofa and takes her hand.
There's a saying. Behind every great man, there is an even greater woman. And I want that for you. I want you to be greater. But sometimes being greater means being quiet.
I always thought the saying was beside every great man.
Beside, behind, between, it's all semantics. The point is that if she is to be great, wherever she is, she must follow, and he must lead.
Well, when I led, I got you twice as much money.
Hey, but it's not about
the money. Well, then what's it about?
Okay, I'll tell you what it's about, Juicy. I'm running for office here.
Did you just call me Juicy?
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well, I apologize. I don't know how I could confuse you two, because Juicy knows how to obey. Juicy, come!
The little dog runs back into the room.
Yeah, see that?
You know what? New actions, new outcome. Same asshole, same outcome. You haven't changed a bit, Langston. Oh, and I'm keeping the outfit and the shoes. I think I've earned them.
As she goes, Juicy runs over and grabs a scarf dangling from her purse.
Get off me, little cat.
Juicy!
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 Now a cell phone lights up. Lying in bed, William turns on a lamp, then answers the call.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. I didn't wake Taylor, did I?
No. My grandmother got sick, so she went out of the town to see her.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope she feels better. You doing anything?
Not anymore.
Want to watch a movie?
William shifts his gaze and sits up.
Sure.
Great, can you come pick me up?
No, you live across the hall.
I'm not at home, silly. I'm in Georgetown. Hello? William? Hello?
Frowning, Montana dials a call as snow falls around her. In bed, William turns on the lamp again and answers his phone.
Hello?
William, sorry about that. I guess we got cut off.
No, I hung up.
Oh. Yeah, sure, of course. I guess a 25-year friendship doesn't give me the right to call you or expect you to drive less than an hour just because I'm stranded at midnight in the crime capital of the world. Wait, stop. No, don't. I don't have any money, and I don't have any real friends either. No! Stop!
Alone and unharmed, she listens. Later, she rides in William's truck.
So cool, Abby.
Yeah? Comfortable?
Yeah.
So why didn't you call one of your friends to come and pick you up? Oh, that's right. He lives in Chicago. No, was it Houston? No, New York City, right?
Yeah, I know. This all seems very silly to you, doesn't it?
Okay, I'm sorry you had a rough night.
It has been a very rough night. God, it's cold in here. Does vintage mean you don't have any heat in this car? I'm so cold.
Yeah. Come over here, sit next to me. I'll keep you warm.
Snuggling up against him, she lays her head on his shoulder.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
You give me hope that there's still some good men out there.
Smiling appreciatively, she shuts her eyes. William regards her fondly. Now the truck pulls up outside their building. Later in William's apartment, Montana eyes paint samples on the walls.
Are you ever going to be finished with this place?
It'll be finished.
When it's finished. I know.
They go to the living room.
Oh, William, I can't believe you're making me watch a movie at 2 in the morning.
Oh, well, you
on VHS.
All righty. Our choices. Enter the Dragon.
Uh-huh.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Or The Last Dragon. Woo!
Do you have Misery?
The Last Dragon? There you go. You get it started. I'll make you some drinks.
He leaves the room as Montana complies.
Mo.
Yeah?
The color in the dining room. Cherry or espresso?
Espresso.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Wait, is this our high school yearbook?
Yeah, my mom, she was cleaning the garage and found it.
I am surprised your picture didn't slide off the page.
He sports curls in his photo.
Oh, my God, I forgot you'd be walking around with that activator.
Oh, you are funny. You must have forgot how you look. It wasn't a tube of gel and 1,000 miles that was safe.
Her photo shows her with a heavily gelled ponytail.
Oh, my gosh, look at this. Look at our prom. We were getting down.
No, I was getting dumped. My date got jealous and left.
It's not my fault she couldn't dance.
What was that song you were dancing to?
They shift their gazes, then face each other and smile. Now they perform a choreographed dance routine in the living room. Montana grins broadly as she sidesteps, then twirls. They jump once, then bump their hips side to side. They do stylized hops to the right and left, their arms posed at an angle. They bend over at their waists, then roll their shoulders as they advance forward. Montana does a dramatic turn, followed by William. They spread their arms to the side and bob their heads. In rapid little jumps, they perform a series of half turns. They take bows. Then William takes Montana's hand and twirls her. He grabs her around the waist and lifts her. Grinning, they collapse on the couch.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna get this drink. This is for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
With his own drink, he scoots closer to Montana on the sofa.
This is a toast to us never dancing.
Or dressing.
Like that ever again.
Cheers.
They sip apple martinis.
Hey, you know what else my mom found?
Some DVDs, a couple romantic comedies, hopefully.
Hey, stop talking about the black man's mother.
He leaves the room, then returns with a children's toy stethoscope.
You remember this?
Please don't tell me you still have it.
Paging Dr. William Wright?
Hey, if it wasn't for this, you wouldn't even know you had a heartbeat.
You didn't know I had a heartbeat because you're always trying to put on my booty.
So what you trying to say? Your booty ain't got a heartbeat?
I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
You don't?
Nah.
Come on, let me check
yeah.
You, young lady.
You're gonna check it?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Please. I can tell, young lady, you're from African heritage.
Thank you.
Okay. I think I'm starting to hear something.
Yeah?
He moves the stethoscope up her body.
You better be glad you know a doctor who can make house calls.
Is that all you can make?
She smiles teasingly. Sobering, William lowers the stethoscope and takes out its earpieces. Montana gives him a vulnerable pout. Her lifelong friend takes her hand and kisses it tenderly. She gazes into his eyes with a hopeful smile. William leans toward her. Now blurred lights fill our view. Montana sleeps in William's car, leaning against his shoulder.
Montana? Montana, we're here.
Are you sure?
She gives an aroused smile and bites her lip. Waking, she finds William staring at her. As she leans back, he offers a friendly smile.
Still up for a movie?
Shifting her bewildered gaze, Montana leaves the vehicle unsteadily and shuts the door behind her. William jerks his thumb over his shoulder.
Mo, you forgot your...
She heads for the lobby. William shakes his head, then smiles.
She's always forgetting something.
He slowly backs his truck along the snowy curb. Stepping into the lobby, Montana gazes out at him with a wistful smile. Now in bed, Montana writhes blissfully in her sleep. She rolls into her mother, who sits on the edge of her mattress. Montana wakes with a start.
It was quite the dream you were having, little girl. Uh-huh. You were sleeping so peacefully, I thought I'd take the time to clean that nasty little kitchen of yours. Did I ever tell you the way a woman keeps her kitchen is the way a woman keeps her man? I don't know.
She files her nails.
Mom, in the spirit of me keeping my sanity, I think it would be really great if we could establish some clear-cut boundaries.
Boundaries? After 74 and a half hours in labor, struggling to give you life. Is how you think? Well, you're welcome. And I am leaving.
She saunters from the room.
Mom.
Montana pulls the covers over her head.
And do me a favor, Pigpen. That little funky attitude you got, don't bring that to your sister's wedding. We don't need it, okay? Uh-huh.
Maybe I won't have a funky little attitude. Maybe because I'll have someone of my own. And I'm bringing him to Cherie's rehearsal dinner. What do you think about that, huh?
Her mother returns with a smile.
Really, Montana?
Now Montana walks with William.
So you told your mother what?
I had to say something. I had to get off my back. You know how she is.
Yeah, she got off your back, but then the 10,000-pound gorilla jumped on.
They enter a bridal boutique.
You'll see.
I'll see,
huh? You okay. Will.
Bonjana.
Isha, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
This is my good friend, William.
Oh, hello. Oh.
She gets a strapless gown.
For bridesmaid. Again. Try on.
Okay. Thank you very much, Isha.
For the groom. Try on.
No, I'm not the groom.
Oh, but you same size as groom. Try on. I need measurement.
Now William and Montana take turns peeking out of adjacent fitting rooms.
This could have been you, you know. I proposed to you and your answer is like,
you proposed to me in elementary school during recess because you wanted my cupcake. And the only way you knew you could get it was by giving me the toy ring at the bottom of your Cracker Jack box.
At least I offered you a ring for it. That's more than I can say for the men you've dated since.
Touché. If I had known the proposals would have been so infrequent, I would have accepted. And then we'd be married.
Montana blinks and her gaze grows wistful. William peeks cautiously from his fitting room. Catching herself, Montana ducks back into hers. Later, facing a mirror, William wears a tuxedo next to Montana, who sports an elegant champagne pink gown with a mermaid-style skirt.
Oh, you look amazing.
You won't look half bad yourself.
William digs his cell phone from his pocket, eyes the display, and faces his friend.
Can I get this?
Montana nods.
Taylor. So, how's your grandmother doing?
Montana gets a text from Sam. Get to the airport now.
Miss you too.
Now at Frankie's reservations counter. Words appear 16 days.
Sam, got one, baby. Flight 1763. Headed to Houston. Sitting in C3A, baby. Houston, we got a problem.
Cedric rushes Montana through security into a cart. A plane lifts off. Now in a hotel room, Montana unpacks a dress. Houston. Later, Montana's date stares at his cell. Now Frankie makes a series of calls.
We're on his way to D.C., man. Right there with my president. This boy got some freaking fly miles. He's on his way to Miami. Got another one, Sam, on his way to Detroit. Motown.
In ticketing, Tanya gets a text. Montana needs a ticket to Detroit.
It'll just be 1 sec. I just need a minute, please. Just 1 second, please.
Montana rushes through an airport. In San Francisco, she has dinner with an ex who holds his chopsticks in both hands with a sheepish grin. Sam and Gail check their phones. Montana rushes through another airport. At work, Sam gives her a hug. In Philadelphia, her date clutches her hand and kisses his way up her arm. She tries to shove him off. At curbside, Calvin uses his cell as he faces a series of potential dates.
She like light-skinned dudes? I got Leo DiCaprio up here. Do her husband have to be a man?
He smiles at a woman. In a hotel room, Montana struggles to shut her suitcase. Now at work.
Now is not the time to get down on yourself, Montana. In a week, maybe. Thank you. Oh, don't mention it.
Taylor boards, canoodling with a man.
Taylor? Montana! What a...
Ho, ho, ho.
Surprise. How's your grandmother?
Later in flight.
William is much better looking, and he's a great guy. And she's out here being a two-timing whore.
Taylor enters the galley and smiles.
Montana.
Taylor.
Look, I know this must look really bad. But what you don't know is me and William broke up. That's a long story. Anyway, I'd appreciate if you don't mention it. You know how it is when you break up. Wound's still open.
Montana forces a nod.
Sure, yeah. Thank you.
Taylor heads out, then returns.
Oh, could you get me a hot tea? 2 sugars, no cream. Ciao.
Sam's jaw drops. Montana lunges after Taylor. Her colleagues restrain her. With Frankie.
901 is headed to New Mexico. Feliz Navidad.
Montana takes a series of rush trips.
Got another one, Sam. 5 on 6, baby. Here he is, coming straight to Los Angeles. You want him?
On a crowded plane.
You might.
sorry, I'm really sorry.
She shoves past and rushes from the plane.
Sorry.
Reaching a bustling concourse, she spots a tall, fair-skinned man 20 feet ahead. She hustles after him, shoving past others. She hurries to an escalator, looks around, and boards it. Turning back, she spots her ex. He greets another man with an intimate kiss. Staring defeatedly, Montana descends out of view. Now in a hotel room, she uses her cell phone.
No, Gail. There's 4 days left before the wedding. Just gonna get some rest and hop on the first flight in the morning. Thanks for trying. Yeah, I love you too. Okay.
Ending the call, Montana repositions herself on a couch. She takes a comfortable cross-legged position, tucks her hair behind her ear, then dials a call. At home, William leans over drafting paper spread across a desk, a pencil in his mouth. He answers his phone.
Montana Moore, do you know what time it is?
It's about 10 o'clock in L.A.
Yeah, it's 1 a.m. in Baltimore.
I know. I'm sorry, I just thought that maybe you might want to, you know, talk.
About?
Come on, William. How long have we known each other? You can tell me.
Mo, what are you talking about?
William, I'm talking about you and Taylor.
Montana!
Hey!
Taylor!
I was just thinking about you, too.
Yeah?
Oh, you got another phone call.
Taylor, don't you do that.
Tell him.
Taylor,
okay.
Don't.
All right, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Out.
Bye.
I'm not going to tell him.
Taylor ends the call with Montana.
What?
She tries again. Taylor turns off William's phone. Facing him with a smile, she drapes her arms around him.
What you working on?
Just trying to figure things out.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like this little thing here.
Oh, yeah.
She smooches his cheek. Now an apple martini sits on a bar top. Seated facing it, Montana politely toasts the bartender, then takes in her elegant surroundings and takes a sip. Now her glass sits empty. Montana swigs it tipsily, then munches the apple garnish and orders another. She drinks a few more.
Hey, anybody in holiday spirit? Yeah. Come on, it's open mic.
Later, she sings on stage.
Small is what I'm after. Not one that's spacious and wide. A house that's filled. What? You just whispered that. I want that to fall inside. I'm singing right now. Okay. Some people like the highlights. I like the low life. You know what I'm talking about? Free from the stress and strife. Come on now. Sounds home, seedy, but yes, simply. Give me the simple life. You know? Okay.
Bravo, bravo. That was amazing.
Quentin.
Montana.
The striking businessman grins.
Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, please.
Oh, my God.
Don't be. You were wonderful.
Really?
Well, no.
Gosh, it's so good to see you.
Me too. I'm so pleased you still remember me.
Of course I remember you. You were on my route for over a year. LA to New York. Let me see if I can remember. Columbia graduate. Top of your class, of course. Hobbies, racquetball, skiing, and art.
I guess it's obvious how much I enjoyed talking to you during our flights.
Well, we were always lucky that there was an empty seat next to you so we could talk.
It wasn't luck. I paid for both seats.
You didn't.
Of course.
He faces a well-dressed staffer.
Excuse me.
Oui, Monsieur Jameson.
Oh, qu'est-ce que ça gagnoté? Des amuse-gueux.
Parfait. Yeah, avec plaisir, madame.
I have no idea what you just said, but you don't have to
please.
Do
this. I insist. Come on, let's go have a drink.
Okay, if you insist.
They sit at a rooftop lounge.
So you've been a maid of honor 9 times?
Yes.
I should get the Guinness Book of World Records on the line.
A little bit more like Ripley's, believe it or not. It could have been 10, actually, but my cousin called off her third wedding the day before, so it's really 9 with an asterisk.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
As you requested, Mr. Jameson.
Oh, my. Quentin, this is too much.
You can never have too much of a good thing. Besides, it's on a house.
So you work for the hotel?
I own the hotel.
This hotel?
Yes.
The waiters serve gourmet dishes.
It's a lovely day for going nowhere.
As Quentin and Montana dine and talk, time passes and the elegant crowd gradually thins out.
Being in love.
Later, they sit alone in the deserted rooftop lounge.
It's a lovely day. Feel like chasing the clouds away.
As dawn breaks, they continue their conversation.
To a perfect place I'm dreaming of.
The sun peaks over the horizon. At the edge of the roof, Quentin and Montana embrace. Now, in the full light of morning, they sit close together on a bench at a grand piano.
Wow. Have you ever imagined what it would feel like? Take off a year and travel the world?
What woman hasn't? But without the means or the time, it just remains just that, a thought, a dream. So
if you're given the means, would you find the time?
I don't know what you mean.
He leads her to the rooftop's edge.
Oh, you think this sunrise is beautiful? Wait till you see the sunrise in the Serengeti, or the view from the top of the Eiffel Tower. We could go shopping in Milan, cruise the Greek on a private yacht.
Wow, that sounds incredible. Quentin, I'm so flattered, but I don't know what to say.
Say, I accept your invitation.
You mean a proposal?
If that's what you want to call it, then yes.
Well, what do you want me to call it?
I'm taking some time off to travel the world, and I'm asking you to join me.
Montana gives a disappointed nod.
Montana, if you thought I was talking about marriage, I've tried it twice, and all it did was ruin two very good friendships. Listen, if marriage is what you need, you should find someone willing to give you that. But if passion and adventure is what you want, you'll never want it again. I'm passing through D.C. in a couple of days on my way to Rome, then to London, and then to Greece. I'll have my assistant book your ticket to all three places just in case.
Okay. Well, listen, if you're going to be in D.C., I'd really like you to come to my sister's rehearsal dinner. It's not going to be anything fancy like you're used to, but we could talk about it then.
Okay. Now you get some rest and think about it. Yes?
Okay.
They share a tender kiss. Holding Quentin's hand, Montana smiles.
It's been a great night.
As she leaves, he gazes after her fondly. Now a gift box wrapped in a silky golden ribbon sits on a table in a hotel suite. A card stands next to it. Coming in warily, Montana slows at the sight of the present. Taking it to the bed, she sets it aside and reads the card. A little something to help make up your mind. Quentin. Montana removes the ribbon from the gift box, then unfastens its snap. Inside lies a diamond tennis bracelet. Lowering the present, she bites her lip and shifts her uncertain gaze. Now a passenger jet flies in the rosy light of a low sun.
Now I realize why it's so hard to find the perfect guy. Maybe he just doesn't exist.
At night, Montana wheels her suitcase toward her apartment building's entrance. From his apartment, William watches her through a window. Unnoticing, Montana turns toward the building's doorway. As she reaches the entrance, William hesitantly turns away. He eyes a framed photo of Taylor in his hands. He carries it to a box with her name on it and tosses it in with a book. He lifts a lid on top, then carries the box to a small stack in the corner. Going to a bookshelf, he takes down his yearbook. He opens it to his own goofy, jerry-curled portrait. Smiling, he turns to Montana's portrait. Below, a hand-scrawled message reads, "William, my best friend, I can't imagine life without you. Love, Mo." With an affectionate smile, He moves his lips as if speaking under his breath, then puts the yearbook back on the shelf. Daytime.
Yeah?
What you doing?
About to get ready for the rehearsal dinner. Coming in.
It's your mailman.
He holds out some mail.
This is from your mailbox.
You never do that.
He presents a gift the size of a shoebox wrapped in gold paper and ribbon.
That's for me.
Aw.
Yeah, that's an early Christmas gift.
Thanks.
It'll help get your mother off your back.
Well, that's no longer a problem. Because tonight at Cherie's rehearsal dinner, after my sister introduces her soon-to-be husband, I'm going to be making an introduction of my own. What's so funny?
You're starting to turn into your mother.
No. I'm just realizing that maybe fairy tales don't come true. We weren't all lucky enough to have parents like you that ate dinner every night together for 40 years.
Listen, I never said my parents was perfect. They went through it just like any other couple. But when they took those vows, they meant it. My mom, she loved my dad, and my dad loved her back.
Well, my mom loved my dad, and then she loved another man, and another man, and another man. People get married and divorced. That's just what people do.
You spent your whole life being your own woman. Why you want to change now?
Who said anything about not being my own woman? I just would really like to be somebody else's, too.
Somebody's or anybody's?
Montana Clare's.
You know what, William? Why don't you save your really great relationship advice for someone who really needs it? Like a girlfriend, Taylor, when she's kissing some Italian dude at 30,000 feet.
Wow. That's my cue.
Looking down, he gestures at his present.
Merry Christmas, Mom.
Well, I thought you should know.
Thank you, I know.
He leaves angrily. Montana tilts her head.
William!
Shutting her door behind him, William lingers in the hall with a wounded pout.
Sorry.
Montana shifts her remorseful gaze. In the hall, William glances at her door, then leaves. Montana goes to her couch and picks up her cell phone. Sitting, she finds a message from her mother and plays it.
Montana, it's your mother. I've told everybody about your announcement, so don't let me down.
Montana presses her lips together and shakes her head. At dusk, William puts on a necktie as he faces a small mirror. At night, Montana rides a taxi through a city decorated with holiday lights. In his bedroom, William shrugs on a suit jacket. As he picks up his watch, we find an airline ticket on his dresser. At the dinner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As you all know, my youngest daughter is marrying a handsome young man from Rhode Island.
Rocky Mountain.
Rocky Mountain.
At a table, Gail takes a seat next to Sam.
What are you doing here? We
invited. Same thing as you, just being all nosy.
To welcome him to the family. And give him a last chance to back out. But before I bring you my youngest daughter, I'd like to present to you my oldest, who has an announcement that is lovely.
William arrives at the party's edge.
And long overdue. I give you Montana. Montana, baby. Come on up here.
Attending on her own, Montana stands. William claps for her. Going to the podium, she hugs her mother.
So, I have an announcement, as I'm sure you are all aware. Tricky thing about announcements is that you need to have something to announce in order for it to be an announcement.
What is she doing?
So,
I don't know.
Here it is.
Friends, family, fellow Americans.
Langston.
Montana. I was flipping through the newspaper, and I saw the notice for your sister's wedding. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You look ravishing.
He gives her roses.
Montana. I was thinking about what you said. You were right. A woman can lead. Under the right circumstances, of course. One of which is a campaign brunch next week with a very influential senator. This is to beside, behind.
Presenting a ring, he gets down on one knee.
And to nothing, coming between us.
Montana's jaw drops. Shifting his wounded gaze, William nods stoically and slips away.
Montana, would you?
Oh, yes, she will.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
I won't. Won't.
Montana, what's gotten into you?
Mom, what has gotten into you? You don't even know this man.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
You're just gonna marry me off to the first person you see? Unbelievable.
Langston takes a seat.
I mean, this is a man who I would never marry. I wouldn't even vote for you. I don't trust black Republicans. I'm sorry.
I'm actually libertarian.
You know, I spent the last 30 days looking for somebody, anybody, to come here tonight so I could fit in, be part of the club. So all of you would say, we love you, Montana. You did it. We're so proud of you. You're a lady. But marriage doesn't make you a lady any more than standing in a garage makes you a car.
It's a weird analogy.
So, here's my announcement. I'm not getting married. I don't even have any prospects. Yeah, no, none, zero. I'm all alone. But to meet somebody I've been really, really needing to meet. Me. And, turns out, I like me. A lot. With or without a husband. And, I say this all to say, from your older sister, that if you are really in love with Derek and you can't imagine spending another day without him, then you two should absolutely get married. And I'm so happy for you. But if you're making this decision for any other reason, sweetie, making the biggest mistake of your life.
Their mother shifts her seething gaze.
You know, a really good friend of mine once told me, the magic isn't in getting married. It's in staying married.
Sam smiles. Cherie and her fiancé shift uneasily.
I don't know.
So what are you saying? You don't want to get married now?
Do you?
I was just doing this because your mom said we had to.
Montana gives her mother a shocked glare.
Baby, we can wait until after we graduate. Maybe just get to know each other a little better.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
So, I guess. Come here. I'm fine with that. I love you.
Me too.
I feel so much better. Let's get out of here.
As they stand, Montana grins.
Thank you.
I love you.
Gail and Sam start a round of applause. With her bouquet of roses, Cherie leads her fiancé out. Her mother folds her hands and sulks. Langston goes up to the podium.
Hello. My name is Langston Jefferson Battle III. And I am running for United States Congress.
He gives a toothy grin outside.
You met someone? Yourself? You met yourself?
I had to say I was introducing someone.
Gail rubs Montana's back as Sam hugs her.
Whatever you need, we are here for you, okay? Right by your side.
That's right.
Montana!
From way over there.
Uh-huh, from way over
there. I'll be right there, okay? Wait for me. Not now, Mom.
Montana, wait.
Listen, Mom, I need a few days, weeks, maybe even a month.
I can't give you that.
Montana stops.
I can risk losing another husband, but not my daughter.
She remains still, shifting her irritated gaze with her back to her mother.
I was proud of you in there. That woman in there was the woman I raised you to be. Confident, smart, independent. A lady.
Her gaze softening, Montana slowly turns. Her mother nods.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was scared.
Her mother shakes her head lightly, then glances off.
I put all that pressure on you and your sister because I didn't want you to go through 5 husbands like I did.
Do you mean that?
Of course I do.
She steps closer.
And you know I do. I don't know if I ever told you this. But your father was my first. And only. True love. And I loved him until the day he died. You're too young to remember, Montana. But every Sunday, your father would let me sleep. He'd rush downstairs to make pancakes. Oh, my God, he'd rattle his pots and pans and carry on down there. And then he'd yell up the stairs. He'd go, Catherine, you come on down here and eat these pancakes. I wouldn't move. And come over there and he'd kiss me on my cheek.
She closes her eyes.
So sweet. He said, get up, baby, come and eat.
Montana smiles warmly at her mother.
That was 30 years ago, Montana. And some Sundays I still close my eyes and I could smell those pancakes like it was just yesterday.
Tearing up, Montana shakes her head.
So yeah, love does matter.
Montana smiles sadly.
Now, when you find love, and you will, baby.
No.
Don't ever let it go.
Montana wipes a tear from her cheek. Her mother nods softly, then moves in for a hug.
Oh, God.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
They walk off with their arms around each other. At home, Montana eats takeout with Sam and Gail.
I wonder if I'm ever gonna meet somebody.
Who knows? But you can have really great sex while you're looking. She can.
Yeah, we get it, Gail. You like to bone.
Gail sticks out her tongue. Sam approaches the window. Outside, a driver opens the rear door of a town car and Quentin steps out.
Montana!
Did you enter the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes?
Gail hurries to the window.
Who is that?
Montana!
Montana, you should come take a look at this. I think the King of Zamunda might be here to see you.
Montana climbs up off the couch and joins them by the window.
Oh. That's Quentin.
That is Quentin.
Mm-hmm. That's who you were supposed to meet at the rehearsal?
That's the one that gave you...
Those diamonds are... Mm-hmm. Those diamonds are real.
Montana!
Oh! Honey, get ready. Go down there.
No, I'm not.
No?
What are you doing?
Gail?
Put that bracelet
Gail.
Down.
Gail.
Put the bracelet down. Put Gail. The bracelet Gail. Down.
Gail.
I want to stop you from doing something we will all regret.
It's okay.
We can all retire off that bracelet.
Montana opens the window.
Quentin!
Hey.
Hey.
I apologize for being late. I had an event that ran longer than expected. I hope I didn't ruin anything for you.
She holds the bracelet.
Look, I thought about what you said in Los Angeles.
I said a lot.
And I listened.
She glances down.
I want more than extravagant trips and expensive gifts. They're nice. They're really nice. But I want a lifetime. And As silly as it may sound, I'm not gonna settle for anything less.
And as silly as it sounds, I don't think you should.
Montana nods softly. Grinning, she regards the bracelet, then tosses it to Quentin.
Thanks.
Gail staggers back. Quentin catches the bracelet and gazes up at the beauty.
I can't see.
Quentin blows Montana a kiss. Closing her window, Montana nods and draws the curtains as he gets back into the town car. Sam stands behind Gail, rubbing her shoulders.
It was super brave.
Thanks. That was super stupid.
As Montana marches past, Gail goes for the window. Sam pulls her back. Montana plops onto the couch.
I want a commitment. No real love. He just wanted international travel booty.
That man could have had intergalactic travel booty.
Gail grabs William's gift.
So who gave you this?
William.
Did William wrap that himself? Boy can wrap a gift.
You gonna open it?
No.
Okay, I'll open it.
Hey, she said she doesn't want to open it.
That's why I'm going to open it.
Sam pretends to slap Gail.
I would.
Touch my hand.
I'll open it! God! You guys, I've had enough drama for one night.
Well, you said you didn't want to open it.
I'll open it.
Gail kicks Sam. He flicks her boob as they all sit.
That's right.
Sam eyes the gift.
Really?
Montana yanks off the ribbon and removes the lid, smiling sweetly as she pulls out a box of Cracker Jacks. She shows the gift to her friends.
Is William going through a little bit of a financial situation?
When we were 7, he proposed to me with a toy ring. And I laughed at him. And he said, someday.
Montana looks beneath the lid.
It's a plane ticket.
Is it? Hey, now.
Sam's brow rises as he checks the ticket details.
Okay. This is a plane ticket to France.
He hands it back to Montana.
He wants you to marry a Frenchman.
Gil.
He was going to take his girlfriend to Italy for their 1-year anniversary, and I said, if it was me, I would have chosen France.
Sam's mouth drops open.
What date is that ticket for?
Montana quickly checks. Her brow shoots upward.
Today.
She touches her lips, then glances between them.
At 11:45 p.m.
Sam checks his watch. Now they dash outside. They block a cab. Gail throws her shoe as the driver speeds off. At the airport, Calvin blocks William from entering.
Hey, my brother, I'm Calvin with Translife. Let me help you with your bag.
Oh, no, I'm good, bro.
Brother, you can't go in there with the liquids and gel. You got liquids and gel in your bag.
They chase down another taxi, which nearly hits Sam at the airport.
Brother, you don't have no lotion or nothing?
No, I don't.
So let me get this right. You out here for the holidays just ashy? Come on, brother, you already dark skinned. Brother, we got a black president.
I am not seeing this.
Gail shoves Sam into the cab.
Happy holidays, brother.
As William heads into the airport, Calvin pulls out his phone and dials.
I couldn't hold it.
In the cab. William arrives at Tanya's desk.
Okay, how may I help you, sir?
I'm going to Paris.
All right, I need your passport?
Yes.
Okay.
Calvin couldn't stop him. I'm going to text Tanya and Cedric.
All right. Here you go.
She gets a text. Stall William Wright.
Actually, these computers are always doing something weird. Just give me 1 second, okay? How are you enjoying the holidays? Just start snowing yet? Paris sounds amazing. Is that where the Eiffel Tower is?
William rubs his face, then checks his watch. Smiling, Tanya browses women's shoes on her computer. Montana hops out as a cab sits in standstill traffic.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wright. Just give me 1 quick second.
Wait, good luck. We love you.
Montana runs through the traffic.
Text me Quentin's number.
Really?
Finally, I got it, Mr. Wright. Here's your ticket. Enjoy your trip to Paris. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Your gate is that way.
Thank you for flying Trans Alliance. Have a safe flight, Mr. Wright.
Moving through shrubs, Montana awkwardly climbs over a short chain-link fence and proceeds into a parking lot. At security check-in, Cedric receives a text to stall William Wright. He spots William by the conveyor belt and smiles deviously. Montana continues through a line of cars to the Trans-Alliance terminal. Cedric steps in front of William. Pressed against frosted glass, William gets searched with his pants down.
Hey, brother, what you doing?
Montana bolts inside the terminal. Dodging travelers, William checks his watch as he quickly makes his way to the gate. Montana hurdles a woman's suitcase. She arrives at the closed gate. Montana moves to the window as the plane slowly pulls away from the gate. She hangs her head briefly, then turns and saunters away with a defeated gaze. Turning to watch the departing plane, Montana backs away. A man runs into her.
William!
Montana?
William!
She throws her arms around him.
I saw your plane leave and I thought you were gone.
No. The agent, she entered the wrong gate on my boarding pass, but I thought you finally got your proposal.
But I said no.
No husband?
No Taylor?
Not anymore. Well, the only baggage I got is on the way to France right now. It's just me.
What? What are you trying to say with the Cracker Jack box? I don't understand.
Ma, listen. I was standing alone in my apartment, right? And I realized, why wasn't it going to be finished? It wasn't going to be finished because you weren't in it. And I realized that little Cracker Jack box ring, it wasn't going to fit anymore, so.
He pulls out a Tiffany blue ring box.
I found one that would.
She lowers her astonished gaze to the box. William opens it, revealing a stunning engagement ring, then takes her hand and slowly lowers onto a knee. He gazes into Montana's eyes.
Montana Christina Moore?
William slides the ring onto her finger. Montana tearfully presses her lips together.
For the second time, and this time for all the right reasons,
she tilts her head with a tender smile.
Would you marry me?
Yes, yes, yes. William.
Montana kneels and they share a passionate embrace.
After 30 days and 30,000 miles of searching the skies for Mr. Wright, turns out he was living across the hall the whole time. And with any luck, he'll work the same job, drive the same truck, and love the same woman for the rest of his life.
A plane takes off into the night sky. Elsewhere, Sam and Gail high-five in the cab.
Woo! We did it!
Yes!
Oh, woo!
We did it!
I'm so glad that's over. Now I can finally get back to my life.
Gail lifts her phone.
Which starts this weekend. I have a date with an amazingly gorgeous man.
Sam eyes his phone.
Oh, looks like I got a hot date, too.
Oh, Sam.
He works at the Renaissance.
They each face each other.
Well, mine's the manager.
They slowly turn their phones to show each other an identical photo. Remaining opening titles, film editor Troy Takaki, ACE, production designer Dina Lipton, director of photography Anastas Mikos, ASC, executive producer Lynn Cecil Talbert, produced by Stephen J. Wolfe, David E. Talbert, screenplay by David E. Talbert, based on his book, directed by David E. Talbert, credits roll, unit production manager Jenny Hinke, first assistant director Christopher S. Bryson, second assistant director Eric Sherman, made in association with TSG Entertainment and Ingenious Media. Cast, Paula Patton as Montana Moore, Derek Luke as William Wright, Tay Diggs as Langston, Boris Kodjo as Graham. Tremaine Neverson as Damon. Jill Scott as Gail. Adam Brody as Sam. Jennifer Lewis as Catherine. Jimon Hansu as Quentin. Lauren London as Cherie. Christian Milian as Taylor. Tia Mowry as Janine. Lala Anthony as Tanya. Ricky Smiley as Calvin. Thomas Miles as Frankie. Ned Beatty as Mr. Donaldson. Sandra Beatty as Mrs. Donaldson. Terrence J as fiancé. Affion Crockett as Cedric. Lynn Cisson Talbert as Graham's wife. Tara Betasol as attendant number two. Magda Harut as Waisha. Jasmine Simon as underground club hostess. Gregory Vahanian as concierge. Tyler Lepley as Curtis. Deandra Jones as bellman. Dylan Wayne as airport guy. Tyler Garnett as airport guy's boyfriend. Juliana Richmond as gate attendant number one. Billy Brown as Georgetown waiter. Antonio Gomez as counter guy. Madison as Juicy. Copyright 2013 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and TSG Entertainment Finance LLC. In all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. Copyright 2013 TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, and TSG Entertainment Finance LLC in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Fox Searchlight, read by Gailey Heidemann. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org.